Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami! Good evening, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and I am recording this on Sunday night, November the 25th, a couple hours after that heartbreaking loss the Miami Dolphins had to the Indianapolis Colts 27-24, a game that the Miami Dolphins had won and just gave away. There's no way to spin it other than they gave the game away. This game is so similar to the Cincinnati game back in September where the Dolphins have a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and just give the game away. And this one stings. It's going to take a bit to get over this one. This game stings. No way around it. But, I don't know. Up 24-14 in the fourth quarter and the Dolphins end up losing 27-24. Myself and Tom are going to break everything down here shortly with the post-game wrap-up show. We're going to talk about all the hot topics. We'll talk about the play of the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, in his first game back. We'll talk about the play calling and head coach Adam Gase. That was a big part of this game and why the Dolphins lost. We dive into that and talk about, you know, what went wrong there late in the game, specifically on those final two drives the Miami Dolphins had that were just baffling, to say the least. And we talk about, you know, a bunch of other stuff as well. So right now I'll take a quick break, and after the break I will be joined by Tom Ernesty for the post-game wrap-up show.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida, and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show. I am your host, Tom Ernesty. I have Mike Oliva with me on the other line. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
It was a nice holiday weekend. And then Sunday night at about 4:25, once they started that game, the weekend went to hell because how that game ended was just very, very disappointing on many levels. And I don't know. The 2018 season for the Miami Dolphins is over. This is a time where you can start to look ahead to 2019 because they will not be in the playoffs this year. I know they're mathematically alive, but they're all done after this loss. There's no way they're going to make the playoffs.
100% agree. I wrote an article this week regarding the Dolphins' playoff chances, and essentially the way that it booked, the Dolphins had to win this game today from a percentage standpoint, because if there was a tie at 9-7, the Dolphins will win the tiebreaker if things went their way. But it all had to start today. When you put a Colts loss with next to the Miami Dolphins and put this team at 5-6, the only possible way the Dolphins now can officially make the postseason is you have to win out or get to that 9-7 level and hope the Colts do not finish 10-6. Because in tiebreaker scenarios, that's where the Dolphins fall off, and this loss head-to-head with the Colts has put them behind the eight ball. So the Colts essentially now have to go 2-3 in their last five games, and the Dolphins have to go 4-1 for them to even get into the playoffs. But the way that this game ended today, this the playoffs are it's no longer going to happen. This is
They're not going 4-1. There's a you look at the rest of your schedule, and it's not impossible, but they're not beating teams like the Vikings or Patriots. Like the Vikings or Patriots. Then you throw in teams like the Jags and the Bills. You have a team like the Bills who's actually improving. And if I had to bet today, I had to put down $1 today that after week 17, what team in the AFC East finishes in second place, I would put my $1 on a team like the Buffalo Bills and not the Dolphins, because they are a team trending in the right. They're trending upwards, and a team like Miami really is trending downwards in many ways. So the Miami Dolphins do not have an easy schedule. It's not, you know, crazy tough, but they're not going to win out. They're not going to only lose one game. They're going to lose a few here, as that team is a mess right now, top to bottom, in a lot of areas.
Let's get started. The first thing I want to touch base on here, Mike, is the pregame show. I had three keys to victory. I want to go through each of these, and I want your opinion to see how well they did, okay?
Yep.
The first key to victory in this game for me was that Tannehill needed to stay clean. He was sacked once. So
yeah.
Not too bad. The game flow for him, it was a little bit off today. You're off of 5 weeks. You finally have practice this week. And then you finally get into a live game. So a lot of the timing things for him looked a little bit off. But overall, I think he had a good game. I wouldn't say it was great by any means. He had a very good passer rating of 100, and I think it was 112, 113.
119, actually.
119. But
here's the thing with Tannehill. He wasn't bad by any means. I wouldn't say he was great, though. It was a typical Ryan Tannehill performance, which we've come to know and expect, you know, since 2012. Can't knock him, really, but here's the thing. It is what it is. It's not good enough to go far in this league. So was it a bad game for him? No, not by any means. But if the goal is to make the playoffs and win games in the playoffs and be that team, it's not good enough. But, you know, for being off all these weeks and such, it was fine. I mean, he was okay. I mean, he's not the reason they really lost the game, but it was okay. And after, since 2012 to 2018, okay is just not enough, in my eyes at least. But it was okay. I mean, it was good. Not great. It was okay.
Yep. I think he performed well in a lot of aspects. The areas that still hinder this team to death is the third down conversions are just not there. 36%, I believe, was the number today for the Miami Dolphins in conversion rate. It's not good enough. The sticks have to keep moving. The drives have to keep happening for the team to be overall successful in this league, and it just isn't happening. But not bad. I mean, absolutely not bad. Okay. Not bad for being off for 5 weeks. So, you know, kudos to Tannehill. Toughing it out, you know, that is something that will never be questioned with Ryan Tannehill. His toughness, you know, playing with a partially torn capsule / labrum, not many can do that. Not many. Second key to victory in this game for me was Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. I wanted the Dolphins to control the clock and don't throw and wear out Ryan Tannehill's arm. So, with that being said, the Dolphins ran the ball a total of 22 times between Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. Between the two, 99 yards, a touchdown. Overall performance, 113 yards on the ground at 4.5 yards a carry, 25 rushing attempts, but it was balanced with 25 passing attempts, but 50 plays in a game does not get it done. What were your thoughts with the running game today with Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore?
It was good, and they should have ran it more late in the game, and maybe they win the game. But that's a whole conversation which we will get into shortly, I'm sure. They played well. Drake still only ran the ball 8 times. I guess that's an improvement over the 1-2 times he's run it in recent games. It was good, but, you know, you do have to question why they didn't run the ball late in the game when you're up by – when they have a lead on the road, but we'll get into that later. But it was good that they ran the ball well behind an offensive line that really is, you know, nothing special. They actually ran the ball well.
So, and that control of clock aspect, the Colts had it for a little over 31 minutes. The Dolphins had it a little over 28 minutes. So,
pretty much even.
Fairly balanced, pretty much even. The last thing was the Dolphins had to hold the Colts under 24 points. They only gave up 14 through three quarters. And then with 8 minutes to go in the game, they gave up 10. So that's where we get to 27-24. But the keys to victory, I think, you know, it was, the blueprint was there for the Dolphins to win this game. And now we'll get into the most important part of this game, which was the late. It was this team deflating again late. It happened in Cincinnati. It happened in Indianapolis. What were the similarities of the two games, Mike, in Cincinnati and the 17-point lead in the second half to the 10-point lead in the fourth quarter in Indianapolis today? What are the similarities you see?
Well, in Cincinnati, it was a combination of the head coach and the quarterback. You had the head coach who on 3rd and 1 had some wild idea on a day where, once again, they were running the ball well. Let's throw it long. And that didn't go well. And then he had Tannehill, who's been in the league long enough to start throwing hook passes that are tipped and intercepted. He's all of a sudden turned the ball over left and right. And I know Laremy Tunsil was hurt, but that doesn't give him a free pass to turn it over. That was a combination of the coach and the quarterback giving the game away. This game today was won by the Dolphins. They're up 24-14 with 10 minutes left. And they gave the game away, and this one falls at the feet 100% of head coach Adam Gase. Yes, they let the Colts, once they got up by 10, they let the Colts pretty much run down the field and get some quick points. I get it, and that's more Matt Burke than Adam Gase. But you know what? Adam Gase hired Matt Burke. That's on him. Number two, Miami then gets the ball back. Okay, now you're up by 7. You got the ball. About 8 minutes ago, 8.5 minutes, somewhere around there. Pass. They take no time off the clock. He's coaching this game like he's losing instead of having a lead on the road. And I said it in the moment on social media. You're the head coach. You're up in this game 10 points with 10 minutes to go. Your job is to manage the game and bring it home. Okay, you give up the points. You're up by 7 points. Manage the game and bring it home. He did neither. And then what happens, takes no time off the clock, gives it right back to the Colts. Shockingly enough, the Colts drive right down the field and score. Now we're in a tie game. You went from having a comfortable lead to a tie game. So you get the ball back. There's a penalty on the kickoff. Shocking, I know. You're starting deep in your own territory. Now, okay, you screwed up the last drive because when you have the lead, you're playing like you're behind trying to throw it. Why? Nobody knows. Now it's a tie game. Let's go win the game. And all we hear about is how much, you know, head coach Adam Gase believes in Ryan Tannehill. Head coach Adam Gase, Ryan Tannehill's this guy. We don't even draft other quarterbacks. Tannehill. He 3rd and 10. Let's run the ball. Showing he has zero faith in his quarterback. Zero faith. And after the postgame press conference, after this loss, he gets there. He's cursing up a storm. Looks like a jerk. Talking to the media. Talking down to them again, which makes no sense to me. And he goes, well, I don't want to turn it over there. Well, you know what then? If you don't want to turn it over, then you don't have faith in your quarterback. And stop saying one thing and doing another on the field. Because his play calling in this game was atrocious. As a head coach, he was atrocious. And you can't sit here for years now. This is year 3. And say, Ryan Tannehill's my guy. You guys don't know what you're talking about. He's a special player. He's rare. He's this. He's that. And then game on the line. You know, he ain't a rookie. He's been in the league since 2012. Game on the line, you have him turn around and hand off the ball to Kenyon Drake. And you got to be kidding me. Really. To get back to your question, each one of these games sort of fall on the head coach. The Cincinnati game, Tannehill really did screw it up probably more. But the head coach right now ain't getting the job done. And it's probably time at the end of this year to part company. Now, will they? Who the heck knows? If I were in charge, and I said just 2 weeks ago on this podcast, you know what? Keep Adam Gase. It's not his fault. This loss today is as bad a loss this franchise has seen probably in 3 or 4 years. That's how bad this loss was. On the road, up 10 minutes to go, and you give away a game. You give it away, not because of injuries. I don't want to hear the excuse. Because the head coach is incompetent. And that's why they lost today. Because the head coach was incompetent and made terrible decisions.
I have been on Adam Gase since the Cincinnati game. And I agree with you. I believed that Adam Gase should be given an extension and continue as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins so we don't have to start this scrap heap all over again. But when is enough enough? When is enough enough when it comes to the head coach allowing a defensive coordinator to continue to coach these guys? And I don't care about the end of the day, the players have to play. I get it. They have to do their job. But it is the leader of the defense, which is the coach, which is Matt Burke. If he cannot get these guys to do the things that he is requiring, that is on him. Leaders lead. If he is not leading this defense, and he's lost that, and pretty much he's lost that defensive room because we saw what happened with Rashad Jones. The leader of the defense basically spit in the face of the defensive coordinator for what he was trying to do. I'm not giving Rashad a pass for it. It's just an example that Matt Burke is a big issue. And I said it after the Packers game. You've got to fire him and move on. Get a new voice in there. I don't care if the defense still continues to stink, but you got to get somebody else in there. Because now you're showing the players and you're showing ownership that if one side of the ball is not working, the defense, that's on Matt Burke. He's in charge of that defense. But because the offense is also as bad, it's on Adam Gase. Adam Gase should fire himself as the offensive coordinator of this football team. Give the play calling to Patton Oswalt, and we move on. We got 5 games left in a meaningless season at this point. Give Dow Loggins a chance to call plays, and let's see what the offense does. But Adam Gase is so set in his ways and so set that he is a great play caller that we have seen an offense in the 20s, mid-20s, for his entire tenure, and we have seen a defense that is still 25th or worst for probably the last 6 years. Nothing is getting fixed. The wide night defense sucks. It doesn't work. Move on. And whatever system Adam Gase is trying to deploy, whether it's a hurry-up offense, where'd that go? We haven't seen that. It's just an absolute disgrace, and you said it perfectly weeks ago, Mike. Adam Gase has to sit in front of Stephen Ross at the end of the season and explain to him why he thinks wins and losses doesn't matter and it's just getting better every week that makes the most sense.
Yeah, the famous quote he said, that famous quote he said to Armando was, "Only thing that matters to you is results." Well, I don't know what job head coach Adam Gase signed up for, but the only thing that matters in the NFL is results. And he will have to sit in front of owner Stephen Ross on December 31st or January 1st, the day after or the second day after the Week 17 game, where it's over. The Dolphins aren't going to the playoffs. And the first question, tell me why we aren't in the playoffs this year. You know, that's a results question. So Adam, get his post-game press conference today. If you haven't seen it, go find it. It's on social media somewhere. It's probably on the Miami Dolphins website somewhere. It's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. He comes off like a little child who's mad that he lost a game at T-ball or Pop Warner or a video game, and he's going to pout. And just to show you how mad he is, I'm going to throw in a few swear words to really show you how mad. He came off like an idiot, okay? I mean, It was so embarrassing on every level. This guy is so far in over his head right now. It's not going to get better. And I had some, and after this game, I received a bunch of emails, a bunch of tweets. I would say 90% of people pretty much feel the same way, that it's just not going to work out long-term here with Adam Gase. But there's still, I would say, 10% of the fan base who I got to hear, well, if he goes, who are you going to hire? Well, you know what? First off, it's not my job to hire coaches in this league. Okay, I have a podcast. But if you want a few names, Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, I'll hire their father, Jack Harbaugh, at this point. There's three right there. The offensive coordinator for the Vikings, John D. Filippo, right there is a fourth one. There's numerous assistant coaches who are looking for an opportunity to be a head coach in this league who have earned it, who have worked themselves up the ranks. There's a few people in college who are waiting for that big break. He's one right there, Lincoln Riley. Here's what I do know. Adam Gase ain't cut out for this job right now. Now, maybe in a year or two, he gets hired by some other team. He learns from his mistakes, and he becomes a great head coach for somebody else. But we can't control that, okay? Because right now for the Miami Dolphins, he's doing a poor job. And the injury excuse ain't going to fly here because a lot of teams have injuries, and this game today wasn't lost because of injuries. The game in Cincinnati was not lost because of injuries. It was lost because you have an incompetent head coach who doesn't know how to manage the game and bring a game home in the fourth quarter when you have the lead, okay? That's when you want your head coach to go, we got a lead around the road in the fourth quarter, bring the game home, okay? Bring it home. And he can't do it. He comes up short every time. So there are guys there who you can bring in to replace him. It's not working. And, you know, as Miami Dolphins fans, I think we're so used to losing because it's been many years of losing outside of a random year here or a random year there. We've gotten beaten down to the fact that, you know, how do you phrase this? That they're so used to losing. It's like, well, what else are you going to do? Well, here's, I mean, it's like, you got to try, folks. You got to try. And it is that level of insanity where you keep trying the same thing over and over again, and you want a result, but you keep getting the same result, because that's what it is right now. Ryan Tannehill's been here since 2012. Again, he played okay today, but you can't, if you roll him out there next year, quarterback with whoever the head coach is, and you expect some drastically, and you expect a result we haven't seen ever out of him, you know, it's going to be another 6, 7, 8 year season. With head coach Adam Gase, yes, he went 10-6 that 1 year. Great. What's he done since? I know he's had injuries, but you know what? He didn't prepare for the injuries either. Draft a quarterback. Get a viable number two quarterback. You think he might have learned something after 2016? Clearly he didn't. You know, he's a head coach. Pound the table. I want a backup quarterback. God forbid something happens again to our starter. We got to be ready to go. Nope. He's still – I mean, you're not going to get a different result in 2019 if you just roll out the same cast of characters that you keep rolling out every other year. It's not going to change. And there does come a point where you just got to rip the Band-Aid off and start over. You rip the Band-Aid off instead of just going half-assed. Well, maybe we keep Tannehill Gase for one more year. Then we'll get another – and then we'll draft a quarterback with Tannehill. No, you're just putting off the inevitable, okay? If you bring him back next year, which they might. Who knows? They might. You bring him back next year and then take it off to a slow start. Then what? You want to fire him, what, week 6 or 7? That's great because that whole year just became a waste. It's like just start over. You just start over at this point and move on. You got to get a new quarterback. You got to blow up the whole quarterback room. Fails, Osweiler, Tannehill, they all got to go. You got to start over at that position, okay? And you start over at the head coach. And that's where you got to be. When it comes to VPs and GMs, that's a whole other debate we'll talk about at the end of the year. But at the key two positions, and those are the only two spots that matter in this league, which is head coach and quarterback, the Dolphins aren't good enough. And you can't keep rolling them out there year after year hoping for something to change when it won't.
I will counter that with most likely because we know who our owner is. I think Stephen Ross will look at the year And he'll say, yeah, I agree with you with the injuries. And now listen, injuries are never an excuse for the wins and losses, especially when you have an opportunity to build the depth on the team in the offseason with free agency as well as the draft. Listen, at the end of the day, he's going to look at it and say, I agree with you on the injuries, but why is the defense still not working and why is the offense still not working? And if the answers are not good enough on that Black Monday, you show him the door. But the way I see it is Stephen Ross is going to say he can't screw up like he did with Tony Sperano. He can't do that same approach and hang on to Gase and go look for another head coach. Just can't do it. I think the only way that Adam Gase keeps his job is this team finishes strong, 8-8, 9-7. That's the magic number. He has to give up play calling duty.
That ain't gonna happen.
He has to get in an offensive coordinator that is very experienced. You have to get in a defensive coordinator that's very experienced. I don't care if they're former head coaches. You know, John Fox is a name that rings a bell for the defense. Just throwing that out there. If that is viable, then Adam Gase keeps his job. He gets his extension. He moves forward. If the answers are no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to continue to do that. Stephen Ross has to look him in the eye and say, you're done. And then immediately when that conversation is over, you walk into Mike Tannenbaum's office and say, pack your crap. You're done. Greer? You know, I don't hate on Greer. I think Greer has done a decent job with these last couple drafts.
He's if you're getting rid of the other two, you might as well get rid of him too and just start over.
Most likely, yes.
You can't keep one.
Most likely, yes.
You got to get rid of them all.
Yes. Yeah. Most likely, yes. But I think Greer has been given kind of a shitty situation, pardon my language, because he is still under Tannenbaum. And Tannenbaum still is the ultimate decision maker for most of the things on this team. But Greer, who came from the college scouting department for the Dolphins, over these last few drafts, if you look at the guys that he's drafted to this team, we have found potentially some major impact players in Minkah Fitzpatrick and Xavien Howard, find good role players like a Jakeem Grant. There are some pieces to build around. This team is still so young. But it still doesn't excuse the fact that the head coach can't get the job done. And when people have left Miami, namely Sue Landry and recently Jordan Phillips,
and Ajay,
all have said, thank God I'm out of there.
Yep.
So something is going on, obviously, that we're never going to find out about. But if it all boils down to Adam Gase, he's got to look himself in the mirror and figure out, do I want to continue to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, or do I just want to go to a coordinator job, which most likely may not even be an offensive coordinator job with the performance he's done with the Dolphins as the offensive coordinator / head coach.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's going to happen in these last 5 weeks.
He'll never give up the play calling duties. He would rather be fired than have to part with that. He is so arrogant. He would never, because that would be to him admitting failure, and that's it's not going to happen. He'll never do it. He'll never ever give it up. And the other thing I've heard from some fans after this game was, well, you just can't fire everybody every 3 years or so. That doesn't work. Well, you know what? It worked for the Philadelphia Eagles. They had Chip Kelly. They realized this wasn't working. Bailed on him quick. Brought in the guy who won his Super Bowl, I think in year two for him. It does work. You can't stay on a sinking ship. This league, this is not the same NFL that it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. It has changed drastically. We see that week in and week out. We saw it last Monday night with that crazy game where the Rams are going up and down the field on the Chiefs. The league has changed. And if you haven't caught on to that, then you are already so far behind. You can move on from a coach quickly here because staying on a sinking ship ain't going to work. It just makes it worse. It makes it harder to get out from. So when I hear some fans reach out and say, oh, you just can't fire people every so many years. It's not. Look, Adam Gase has had every opportunity, and I know he hasn't caught some breaks because he's had a lot of injuries and stuff. But again, part of his job is having a roster ready to sustain an injury, and especially at the quarterback position, which is the most important position on the team. And if he does not, it's not just him. If he and the front office don't, you know, think that's an important thing, then who the hell wants him around? Seriously, if these people put zero importance on the quarterback, especially the number two and number three quarterbacks, who wants them around? They clearly don't understand the NFL in the year 2018 and how it works. So you can move on from guys every 3 or 4 years when it's clearly not working. And we're at a case right now, especially after this loss today, combined with the Cincinnati loss back in September. It's not working, okay? It's not working because any competent head coach wins those two games on the road. Really wins those two games. You have double-digit leads on the road. Double-digit leads. And you blow them both because you don't know what you're doing. So, you know, if some fans want to keep spinning their wheels in the mud, and, oh, yeah, we got to stick with the plan, stick with them. It ain't going to get no better. Okay, it ain't. So, you want to talk about the game?
Yeah, we should talk about the game. Real quick, on this game, it's a couple of the game notes that I was just reviewing while you were talking. The biggest one that came out of this for me was Xavier Howard picked off Andrew Luck on back-to-back defensive plays in the final minute of the second quarter. It is the fifth interception on the season for Howard. He's second in the NFL behind Demonte Kazee for Atlanta. So he's behind there. He now has four career games of two or more interceptions, which is tied for fourth most in Dolphins history and second most by a cornerback. Glenn Blackwood, Sam Madison, and Jake Scott all have two-plus interception games. Howard has four two-plus interception games in just his now almost through his third year. So, kudos to Xavier Howard. Fantastic job.
Three words. Cameron, three words for this right here. Lock him up. Do not wait. Call his agent tomorrow morning and start the process. If his agent says no, fine, I understand that. But try. And I don't know if they are, if they're not. So I don't want to rip them for something I don't know if they are trying to do. But do not let this get to a situation like Jarvis Landry, like Olivier Vernon. Lock him up early. Just, you know, have him be a part of this team for many years to come, because finding a lockdown true number one cornerback is next to impossible. And they found one. So don't screw it up.
They really have found. I mean, Howard had a very shaky rookie year. Last year, it took him until about week 10, and he turned everything around. He fell off a little bit this year, midway through the season. And now he's just been playing fantastic again. So, for me, after that first interception, the camera panned to him on the sideline, and he held up his hands and was doing the money sign like Johnny Manziel to pay me. And if I'm the Dolphins, bringing that he is a second-round pick, he has a fourth-year option. You're picking that up with the attention right then when you say, I'm picking this up, we're working on a long-term extension with you right now. Period, end of story.
In
That's
a league,
where you've got to go.
In a league that has so many points and all the rules are tilted towards the offense, to have a player who can lock up wide receivers and just turn the ball over and make these types of turnovers, it's like finding a unicorn. It's almost impossible. You don't see many players like this these days because it's all offense, offense, offense. Nobody even tries to play on that side of the ball anymore. Miami has it. They found one guy, and there's not many guys out there like him right now. Do not lose him, because you will not be able to. It'll take you 10-plus years to try to replace him, and you won't. So just don't lose him.
I agree. So let's get into the game real quick. So the first quarter, the Dolphins, I think this had to be the 19th game that was snapped on first quarter, first drive touchdowns for the Dolphins. They finally found the end zone. Hallelujah. Adam Gase and company called up a very good first drive for Ryan Tannehill. First play, 7 yards to Gore. Deep middle pass to Durham Smythe for 21 yards. Danny Amendola for 13 yards. And after a Frank Gore 1 yard run on 2nd and 9, incomplete to Stills. 3rd and 9, kind of all thought the same thing. Oh, this drive's going to stall out. Tannehill to Kenyon Drake. Short right for a 33-yard touchdown on an offside, which, again, baffles me. On offside, they throw short. But it worked out. Dolphins scored on their opening drive for the first time. I believe this was their 19th game. They snap that awful, dreadful start they usually have, and they take a 7-0 lead. But the defense collapses on the ensuing kickoff. Andrew Luck hands to Marlon Mack for 16, Mack for 7, T.Y. Hilton for 21, Jordan Wilkins for 17, and then on the next play, who catches passes against the Dolphins in the red zone, Mike?
Tight ends.
Eric Ebron, 14-yard touchdown, games tied at 7. Back and forth, a lot of bad from a lot of teams, from both teams here. Then it turned into kind of a very wild finish, which I don't think anybody kind of expected it to kind of do this. So the game tied at 7-7. We get into the second quarter. The Dolphins give up a touchdown to the Indianapolis Colts. 13-play, 73-yard drive. 5-minute, 49-second drive. And the Colts score a touchdown, 1 yard pass to who catches touchdowns against the Dolphins in the red zone, Mike?
Tight ends.
Jack Doyle, 1 yard touchdown, 14-7. So here we are, 14-7. The Dolphins get the ensuing kickoff.
One comment on that last drive.
Go ahead.
Because it sort of happened here a few times in the first half. Minkah Fitzpatrick cannot be matched up against elite wide receivers like Hilton and such. I know they want him to play outside cornerback so they can move McCain back to the slot. That won't work when you're playing elite wide receivers like Hilton, because those teams are going to match up their best wide receivers on Minkah on the outside. And Fitzpatrick got turned around here a few times here in the first half. It's just not a good matchup for Miami. It's not a good matchup for Minkah. I know for the rest of this year, probably at this point, not going to matter. But that's not where he needs to be. And they really probably should flip-flop McCain and Fitzpatrick back to where they were at the start of the year.
On that note, Minkah lost the ball in the air. It was very good coverage down the field. I think it was just a better play by T.Y. Hilton with, you know, Minkah was right there. He just turned his head wrong and didn't locate the football. It was good coverage, just a better play. I can't fault him. The kid's a rookie, but he's still playing at a very high and elite level. But got burned on this play. Not everybody's perfect, and for the most part, he's been pretty perfect this year. So after the Doyle touchdown, the Dolphins get the ball in the ensuing drive after a 1 yard pickup by Devontae Parker. Not shocked by that. No huddle. Ryan Tannehill throws the ball deep down the field to Leonte Carew, who absolutely mossed the cornerback. And Carew goes in for a 74-yard touchdown. Mike, I said Leonte Carew. What are your thoughts? Do you think that the Dolphins may continue to give him a chance at maybe the 5 or 6 wide receiver spot going forward?
Well, for the rest of this year, yes, just because they have so many guys hurt. Beyond this year, no. He has his one highlight for his highlight film of his NFL time for his time in the NFL. He'll play the rest of this year because they got nobody else. And now we don't know about Amendola here these last 5 games and how bad his injury was. So he's going to play from here on out. But after this year, he'll be gone, just like Devontae Parker will be gone. They won't be back in 2019.
And now the craziness begins. So the Colts on the ensuing play after the touchdown, Luck goes deep down the field to T.Y. Hilton, intercepted by Xavier Howard. Howard is tackled at the 40-yard line. The Dolphins are set up with great field position and 2 timeouts to potentially do something. Tannehill goes short left to Leonte Carew. There he is. He fumbles.
Nope, that was
by the Colts.
That was actually Mike Gesicki.
Was it Gesicki? They still have him as Carew in the Dolphins media guide here. So
that was Gesicki.
Either way, if it was Gesicki, shame on him for fumbling that ball, because the Dolphins were set up to potentially get at least into field goal range the way the offense was working a little bit here in the first half. So very frustrating part, but on the very next play, Ebron was the intended receiver, intercepted by Xavier Howard, and then the Dolphins took a knee to end the half. Score is 14-14 as we go into the third quarter. And this is where it got very good for the Miami Dolphins in the second half. After forcing the Colts on a three and out on their opening possession, the Dolphins drive down to the Indianapolis 11 with a 29-yard field goal by Jason Sanders, who is, what, 18 for 19 this year, 19 for 20 on field goals attempts. He's doing well. He's doing it all year. He's been very good, being that his only miss was, I think, in garbage time against the Patriots or something. But either way, 17-14 was the score. The Colts get the ball back, have a nice drive, goes to the Dolphins' 30-yard line on 4th and 17. Adam Vinatieri field goal looks like it was blocked by I have no idea who on that defensive line. I know it's not Vincent Taylor. He's at home, but. Blocked field goal. The Dolphins are still up 17-14. Get the ball back. They end the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter with a 2nd and 9. Actually, 2nd and 4 after the Tannehill hard count that got them an extra 5 yards. And the Dolphins get it down to the 14-yard line, and Kenyon Drake runs for a 14-yard touchdown to put the score at 24-14 on a 9-play, 62-yard drive. Everything's sunshine and rainbows at this point. The Dolphins are ahead by 10. It is the fourth quarter. We're getting late into the game. 13:36 to go. The Colts drive to the Miami 28. Vinatieri hits a field goal. And now we get into the conversation that we actually started this podcast with. The Dolphins up 24-17 with 8 minutes and 26 seconds left. The drive is this. Ryan Tannehill pass, incomplete, short right. 2nd and 10, Ryan Tannehill pass, incomplete, short middle to Kenny Stills, who looked like he had alligator arms on that attempted catch. 3rd and 10, Drake up the middle for -5 yards, and Drake was hurt during the play, so the clock stops. The Dolphins punted the ball away with 7 minutes and 57 seconds left. For God's sakes, folks, this was a matter of 29 seconds.
Yep.
Up by 7 on the road with 8:26 to go. And I tweeted out immediately, this is where you run the ball, chew some clock, maybe get a couple first downs. Worst case scenario, you flip the field. Worst case scenario, you flip the field.
You have to run no matter what on first down because you want to get the clock moving. The clock's your friend. You're up. Here, 24-17, 8 minutes to go. You want to run on first down. Just get the clock moving. At worst, on the play, even if you get 1 or 2 yards, that's going to kill a few seconds. Then you got the play clock starts up. You're going to kill, you know, not 1 minute totally, but close to a minute, just on one play. Like, okay, you run your one play. And then after that, if you want to pass, but they didn't, I mean, how bad, look, you don't need to be Vince Lombardi. I say that line a lot, but it's really true. You don't need to be Vince Lombardi to figure this stuff out here. Okay, you're up by 7 on the road. First down, the clock's your friend. Let's get the clock rolling here and let's get going. If you want to pass on 2nd and 3rd down, I might not agree with it, but at least we got the clock moving on first down and we're chewing up some time. Let's try to make, you know, they did none of it. They run on 3rd down and the guy gets hurt to boot. I mean, it's like on 3rd down, you passed on 1st, you passed on 2nd. You might as well pass it on 3rd at that point and try and get a 1st down. I mean, it makes no sense at all. And it's just baffling. It's baffling. You don't need to be Sean McVay. You don't need to be a genius. I don't have to watch film every day. I don't need to watch the all 22s. It's just common sense. Yeah. Football fans at home, this is common sense stuff. And our head coach, who's you know, likes to think he's the smartest guy in the room when he's not. If, you know, they think I'm going to zig, so I'm going to zag. No, zig! Zig! Because sometimes the zig works. You don't need to zag when you want. Just run the ball. This is common sense. Run the ball. But, you know, he did it, and we know what's coming next. Let's just get to it.
Yep, here we go. 7 minutes and 43 seconds left. Let's talk about chunk plays, shall we? Colts start 19-yard pass to Hines, 3-yard run by Hines, 6 yards to Carlos Rogers, third and one goes for 36 yards to T.Y. Hilton. Then another 9 yards to Hines, no huddle, Hines for another 4 yards. It's first and 10 from Miami 12. Mike, it's a broken record. I don't have to ask the question.
It's a tight end.
It's a tight end. It's Eric Ebron again, 12-yard touchdown. For some reason that I'm looking at this, Cameron Wake was in coverage. I don't know how that's possible. I'm going to have to rewatch that play to verify, because if that's the case, what is Burke doing?
Yeah,
why
I don't
is
think
Cameron
he was
Wake
in coverage? I think that's wrong. I don't think he was in coverage. I saw McDonald back there. Raekwon was back there, who put his arm up for a second to put it down. And I want to talk about him here in a bit, too. Raekwon McMillan, I've seen enough out of him. He is not that good. And I don't want to hear the excuse about the knee. And I know it's just his first year. But they piped that kid up for 2 years, how he's so smart. He's always in the right position. Raekwon McMillan right now is not a good NFL football player. Maybe in time he will become good. But right now, he is bad. And it's just a mess. But three touchdown passes for Luck, all the tight ends. That's all you need to know. And the Miami Dolphins did everything this offseason to address this. Mika Fitzpatrick, Baker. We are going to have guys who can sort of stop tight end. No, we can't. We can't stop a tight end still. It's more than just having guys. They just don't know how to stop a tight end.
Scheme is awful.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because you have an idiot.
Yeah, it's another topic.
Defensive coordinator. Yeah.
So the Dolphins, on that play, after the touchdown, Howard gets an unnecessary roughness. It's enforced in between downs, so the kickoff is at the 50-yard line. So on a pooch kick to essentially the goal line, Sonoris Perry takes it out to the Miami 16 penalty. Two Dolphins penalties. Stephon Anthony and then Nick O'Leary. Dolphins get the ball at the 6. Play calling. Frank Gore up the middle for 6.
Should have done that last
time. No gain, I'm sorry. Ryan Tannehill passed short right to Devontae Parker. No gain. Also pass interference on Kenny Stills, which was declined. It's 3rd and 10. Kenyon Drake up the middle for 4 yards. Punt to the freaking Colts. 42-yard line is where they begin their game-winning drive. -2, 3-yard gain. So it's 3rd and 9. Big, big play in this game. Dolphins get great pressure on Luck. He escapes the pressure. How in the world is somebody wide open? Carlos Rogers was wide open for a 34-yard gain, and at that point it was easy pickings. 32-yard field goal secures the game. Final score, Colts 27, Dolphins 24. Let me just quickly go through this, because I'd like firing you up, Mike.
Yeah.
This is going to fire you up.
Uh-oh.
So the Dolphins are in the lead, 17-14. They score a touchdown to begin the fourth quarter up 24-14. Time of possession in the fourth quarter.
God.
The Indianapolis Colts, 11 minutes and 6 seconds to the Dolphins, 3 minutes and 54 seconds.
See, and you are going to fire me up. You have the lead. How does that happen? Here's the thing with Gase. Here's the thing. And Tom, great job of firing me up. Here's the thing with Gase. Okay, they're up 24-17. And what does he do? Pass, run. He gets hurt, stop the clock. You're coaching there when you're up 24-17 like you're losing, okay? And that's what I mean when, you know, zigzag. Everyone thinks I'm going to zig, so I'm going to zig. That's what I mean right there, because you're coaching like you're behind. Then when it's a tie game, and you have the ball with a chance to, you know, win the game, what does he do? Hold on, let me find it right here. It's run. It's a short pass, one of those safe screens, which is like a run. And then he runs Drake again up the middle. It's like, holy crap. At that point, when you need to coach almost like you're behind because you want a chance to win, he goes the opposite way. This guy drives me – I mean, I don't know whoever labeled this guy an offensive genius, an offensive guru, the quarterback whisperer. But take away Peyton Manning and Adam Gase ain't done jack you know what in the NFL. And it's series like that when you put them under the microscope that makes you – it's like, you know what? It's not us. It's him. It really is him. And it's – there's numerous examples of this over the past 3 years. When the team wins, you can overlook it. When they lose in games when you're not in the playoff hunt, you can overlook it. You go, the game don't matter anyways. Who cares? When big games that matter, you can't overlook it because clearly this guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And as a play caller, he don't know what the hell he's doing. And these two drives today, along with the ones in the Cincinnati game, and look, I will ignore everything with Brock Osweiler because he's not your starter. I get it. It's tough. I get it. So I will throw those games out and not even hold them against him. I'm throwing out five games for him. I'm trying to cut him some slack. But the Cincinnati game and this game, the last two games, Ryan Tannehill played a full four quarters, okay? They were lost because the head coach is a moron. And, you know, the Cincinnati game's on the quarterback as well. But essentially, they were lost because the head coach doesn't know how to manage his team and manage a game. And it's just the reality of it.
I just hope Adam Gase doesn't sleep. Because, I mean, he puts enough on the fan base to, you know, I just can't fathom, you know, with 8 minutes left in the game, you're up by a touchdown. Hell, you're still up 10 points, and then you kick a field goal. You're up a touchdown on the road, and you call pass, and then you run it. You know, you start with the run, and then you can envelop your play. I watch some film. I'm not a genius by any means, but I understand the game of football. Situational football is taught to you at a very young age when you play football. You understand the situation. For Gase not to go out there and understand the situation, I don't want to hear the excuse, well, he was just trying to be aggressive. He was just trying to close the game out.
That's not the time to be aggressive.
You close the game out by being smart. I don't care if you go three and out as long as the clock is churning. I don't care. That's where my problem is. The clock moved 29 seconds. 29 seconds when you're up a touchdown. And then Andrew Luck is the guy on the other freaking sideline. And he's been torturing the defense all game long minus those two interceptions.
In case.
Absolutely torturing.
And Gase, he must think we're all a bunch of idiots again, because in his post-game press conference, when they asked him that last drive on 3rd and 10, why'd you run the ball and why didn't you throw the ball with your quarterback, try and get the first down? He goes, hey, I have faith in our that we could stop them because we stopped them all day, which he's technically not wrong. Now, maybe they didn't stop them all day, but they played a heck of a game on that side of the ball on defense. So the fact he's saying they have faith in them, well, if you have faith in them, then the series before, you do run the ball, just keep the clock moving and you punt. Because that's when you got the lead, okay? When you got the lead, you got to have faith in your defense. And that's when he says one thing, it none of it makes any sense. And that's why people say, well, when he talks down to the media and stuff, why do you care? Why he cares? Because the media's right, okay? The media's calling him on his bullshit. And that's what, once again, say in the postgame, well, I have faith in my defense because we had stopped them most of the day, which he's technically right. They did stop most of the day. But then if you have faith in your defense, then have faith in them when you got the lead. That's why you run the ball with 8 minutes to go. You take off more than 29 seconds. You run the ball. Take off 1 or 2 minutes. Maybe get a first down, and then you're really taking off some serious time. Hey, you're running the ball 4.5 yards a clip. The Colts aren't a great freaking defense. In fact, they're just as bad as us on defense. That's where you run the ball. Hope to get a first down. Kill some clock. Then if you punt, You put your faith in your defense, who did have a heck of a day. For the most part, they had a heck of a day. Late in the game, they fell apart. But, okay, for the most part, they had a heck of a day. And that's, if you want to have faith in them then, that makes sense. But he doesn't. He says the opposite. And he'll swear and talk down. And, you know, this is what you get. You get a clown. Look, it's a clown show right now in Miami. It's always a clown show, it seems like. But right now, some people still want to, you know, they still want to defend Adam Gase. God bless you. If you're in that camp, God bless you. But I really have no idea what you're watching each week at this point. I really have no idea what you're watching because, you know, you can't blame the injury. You can say it's this injury, that injury. But the last two games with Tannehill, okay, let's go back to the last three games with Tannehill. New England, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis. All of them are losses, and the Cincinnati and Indianapolis ones, he actually coached himself into a loss. They had the game won. Double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. He coached himself into a loss, okay? He coached himself into a loss. So if some of you people out there still have faith in him, God bless you. I wish you were my boss, because if I screwed up this many times in life, I probably wouldn't have a job. And hopefully, look, I don't know what's going to happen in these final five games. Personally, I don't think it's going to end well. I think these final five games, I see them probably splitting with the Bills. They're going to lose to New England. They're going to lose to Minnesota. Jacksonville's a toss-up. So at best, they're going to go 2-3, which puts them at 7-9. I think that's best case, they're 7-9. Honestly, they're probably going to end 6-10. Because I, once again, Tannehill today played okay. He played okay. Wasn't great. Wasn't bad, though. He wasn't great. 204 yards passing, where the majority of those yards came on one play, which it counts. I'm not saying it doesn't count. It counts. You know, that's not going to beat many teams in this league. That's, and the Indianapolis Colts are not a good defense, okay? They're a great offense. They're not a good defense. And a team like Jacksonville, who can't score any points, you know, it's going to be tough for the Dolphins to move the ball against them. We're not going to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. We're not going to beat the Vikings. The Bills are playing better. They're not the joke that they were in September and October, okay? They're playing better. They're not good, but they're playing better. Miami will probably split. They'll probably win at home next week, and they'll probably lose week 17 inside of some, you know, -5-degree snowstorm. But they're playing better, the Bills. And if they walk into Miami next week and won, I would not be shocked. They're playing better. But I see at best 7-9, realistically probably 6-10. And to go 6-10, no, to go 10-6, 6-10, 6-10, that's not a good trend for the head coach. And that's going to be a tough conversation for him on December 31st with the owner, because I don't know how you spin it. You can pin it on injuries to the cows come home. But Ross has some smart people in that front office around him. He's got Matt Higgins and some others who know football. And they also handle the business side of things, but they also know football. They've worked for multiple teams, and they know how the league works. And they will be in his ear. And don't think they won't smarten him up. And if you want to really head back in time, think back to draft night, night one, where the Miami Dolphins wanted to select Minkah Fitzpatrick. And Ross raised his concerns. And, you know, he didn't force his hand, which he shouldn't. He's the owner. He's not it. He's not a quote-unquote football guy who scouts and all the tapes. He's not. He just raised his concerns, made his voice heard. And everything he said, per the reports, probably is true. Minkah Fitzpatrick's a great player. Everyone agrees. But should they have maybe traded down? Should they have maybe traded up to take a quarterback? Honestly, probably each one of those things probably would have made more sense, because this year didn't go well. And, you know, we do have Minkah to move forward with, which is great because he's a great player. But, you know, Ross, he had his concerns on draft night, and he let his people do what they do. But when the results aren't there, he can now go back and say, hey, I kind of told you so. And yep. I let you do what you do, and we didn't win any more games this year. Or we aren't even at 500. So what are you going to say? So I don't think Ross is just going to move along here. I think he would be smartened up here if this ends badly, which I think it will. But if this ends badly, and I mean 6-10, 7-9, I don't think anybody's safe.
That could be the case. But, you know, as you mentioned, there are some really good players that the Dolphins can build around.
Yes.
Xavier Howard, Micah Fitzpatrick, Howard, Fitzpatrick, Laremy Tunsil.
Vincent Taylor.
There are some players you can build around. And these guys are young. You're talking 21, 22, 23, 24-year-old players. These are young, good players. Tunsil still hasn't given up a damn sack this year. And you
the
know,
talent's
that
there,
is,
which the is going to make this there. Job attractive, which if yep. this job is open, it will make it very attractive for any incoming GM, head coach, or VP, or any combination of the grouping. It will make it attractive, that and the fact that with a few simple moves, they can open up a ton of salary cap space. With the fact that any new GM or head coach will not be saddled with Ryan Tannehill. If they do clean house here, they're not going to force Tannehill on a third head coach. Joe Philbin, Gase, you know, a third head coach would be like, I ain't coming there and I ain't going to stick with him when I got tape on him since 2012 and we don't win games with him. So any new person who would possibly come in on any level would have the authority to change the quarterback, create a lot of salary cap room with a few simple moves. We've all spoken about them, guys like Branch, gone, Parker, gone. There's some other guys off top, I can't remember, that can just open up a floodgate of salary cap room. In the draft, if you finish 6-10 like we did last year, you're going to be near the top 10. You'll be around 10, 11, 12. Somewhere in that range, probably when it's all said and done. So you have a halfway decent draft pick. It's an attractive spot for anybody who Miami would like to lure as a GM, VP, head coach, or if they hire 1, 3, 2, whatever, it would be attractive. So that is the plus side. But we'll see.
Got 5 games to figure it all out. We'll be back with multiple shows this week. Countdown to kickoff obviously will be next Sunday in the morning with a 1 p.m. kickoff for the first time in seems like forever against the Buffalo Bills. So we will have DolphinsTalk.com daily with Mike for the entire week, obviously talking about all the news and notes after a dreadful loss from the Indianapolis Colts today, 27-24. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you go to DolphinsTalk.com every day for everything Miami Dolphins, from news, opinions, articles, as well as links to the stats and everything else that you can think of Miami Dolphins. One-stop shop is at DolphinsTalk.com. Mike, do you have any last words before we sign off and try to get some sleep, knowing that Adam Gase blew another game?
No, I got nothing else to say. Hope everyone has a great Monday. Look, we all love these games, but at the end of the day, they are just games. So in the moment, yes, we vent and we complain and we stomp our feet and are mad, but don't let it affect your real life and stuff. There are far more important things in the world, but it is frustrating being a fan of this team and watching this team fail now, God, for almost 20 years on a consistent basis. And not seeing things change. So don't let it ruin your Monday. Everyone, head to work on Monday. Just relax. Things will get better in time. And let's hope that our owner is our savior. I'm not sure if he is, but hopefully come January 1st or so, we see a lot of big changes here with the Dolphins and some key spots.
We will see. But thank you all for listening again. We are out.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.